Well, welcome to episode number 10 of Liberty Land, the gun shop of the future. And today is the 27th of January. No, we're about 9:48, so we're rolling up on 10. That's a good time for me. You know, in your daily circadian rhythms, you'll have a period in your life on a daily basis where you find yourself doing certain things, habits, I suppose. But this time of the evening works well for me because the wife is abed. The children are in the process of maybe starting to think about going to sleep. And the household has quieted down. The dogs are not barking. The cat is not clawing. Mayhem isn't breaking loose left and right. And you've got a quiet moment in which to compose your thoughts. And in my particular case, record them. Now, this is a Liberty Land episode. This is a Liberty Land podcast. But it's one of three podcasts I've been running since October. So, all told, I probably have, I might be close to 10 hours of total broadcast time by now, and 10 to 15 minute packets. I did develop a habit early on of running long. I've got a couple almost half hour podcasts, and I find those difficult to listen to. But anyway, I've gotten in the habit of recording my thoughts, trying to recap the day, depending on the podcast I'm doing, continue my train of thought. Oh, this is Liberty Land, indoor range and gun shop of the future. But we probably won't end up talking much about gun shops or the future today. Although we may talk about the future. I don't know. As far as nuts and bolts podcasts on Liberty Land, I probably got 4 out of 10. This is number 10. Probably 4 of the 10 actually deal with gun shop issues. And I may get into that in a little bit. But I had loftier ideals when I picked the microphone up tonight. But as my voice drones on, I find I'm losing my chain of thought. It happens quite a bit to me. But that is the nature of podcasting. This is a real slice of time in my day. And I'm recording without editing. I do not stop and go back and cut stuff out and kill the dead space. I mean, I've got a lot of podcasts where there's probably 25, 35 second stretches because that's about as long as it takes me to get from where I'm recording the podcast to the beer refrigerator I have located in my basement and return. And because I'm not racing, nobody's sprinting down here. It's an amble. I'm going on my way over to select another fine beverage and then return to the microphone and once again resume dictation or resume the lecture. And that's what I really tend to regard these as. Much more than it's much different than a dialogue. A dialogue, two people talking, you've always got constant change. You know, the chaos of normal conversation reigns rampant. You may attempt to stick to a topic, but you may not be successful. That is the nature of human communication. In a lecture, theoretically, you've actually graphed out everything you're going to do, at least to header level. And, you know, you've got a course of study you're pursuing. This is what you're attempting to teach. This is how you're attempting to teach it. So I like the lecture format a little better. Although I do wander quite a bit. Quite a far afield. But that's all right. It's a podcast. It's just little electrons floating around the internet in discrete packet streams. You know, nobody's making you listen to anything. You click the button, you like it, you listen to it again. I'm all for that. That's a libertarian kind of thing. If you want it, here it is. And what really makes it kind of libertarian is that podcasting, at this point in time, at least on planet Earth, is a relatively low-cost activity, and it is a no-cost activity to be a participant in. You can listen for free. You don't even need an iPod anymore. All you got to have is some speakers on your computer. And who in the modern age and time does not have speakers on their computers? Although I'm apprised that there's a relatively large slice of the population that still does not even have a computer. That sounds almost strange to me. I mean, I look at my 14-year-old son now and the electronic devices he's got at his disposal. You know, the mighty Xbox 360. I mean, you could spend hours of podcasting time just talking about the basic fact that when I was 14, there was no such thing as an Xbox. Hell, there wasn't even Atari yet. I mean, it was just breaking, you know. People were playing Pong and wigging out, you know, on low-definition cathode ray tube TVs. color TVs in most cases, but there were still, it would run across the occasional black and white, and hell, the bar versions were green anyway. Wasn't like they were full color. I remember when Pac-Man made the break. You know, color screen. Ooh, wow, ooh, cool. You know? But hell, that wasn't when I was 14. That was when I was much older. I was driving and drinking at that point in my life, which means I had to be at least old enough to afford a car, pay the insurance on it, and legally obtain a drink in a bar in Georgia, which I believe at the time was 18. Yeah, it was like 4 years down the road from now. And God knows what technology would be like 4 years from now. It's moving at such a rapid pace. Such a rapid pace. Man, I've drifted far afield on this, and I'm only 5.5 minutes into the podcast. This may be a very short one. We'll try to get back to the topic at hand of Liberty Land, although I really, honestly, I'm starting to have trouble now, because this is number 10. This is podcast number 10, and I fear that I'll become redundant at some point in time. Matter of fact, I'm fairly positive I'll become redundant at some point in time, because one would imagine that you could not spend hours talking about the same subject and not repeat yourself. I might be incorrect on that. Tell you what I have been doing. I've been checking out podcasting in general on the internet, and podcasting as pertains to gun shop activity, and podcasting as pertains to Libertarian Party activities, as well as YouTube. And here's some, I find, just intriguing news. Depending on what you type into Google, if you type in Libertarian Community Organizer, you're going to get like 300,000 returns, but hey, you'll find a reference to this podcast in the first page. Amazing. And if you type in Liberty Land, you'll get like 63,000 returns, but then you'll notice that, once again, a reference to the Liberty Land podcast series is on the front page. You know, these are favored positions, I'm told. Translates into tremendous wealth and power. I have yet to see any effect of this. My downloads at the Georgia Podcast Network have stayed about where they've always been so far. You know, I average maybe 30, 40 downloads a day. I'm not quite certain what that means. I mean, is it just spiders crawling a site every month? Is that where my 3,000 downloads have gone? I mean, but these are big fucking files, Jack. I mean, 14 megs to 20 megs plus. That's a lot of data to move. You know, I can't see a web crawler, you know, a bot, a spider, whatever you want to call them, going to the trouble of dragging it all down. You know, I can see them scanning a title, reading the taglines, you know, trying to organize it. That's what they're supposed to do, fuck. But anyway, about 3,000 downloads have occurred of all the series I've done, and that's Liberty Land, the Communique series I did when I was working on the Alan Buckley campaign during the 2008 Senate race here in Georgia, and Nearly Conspiracies, which is kind of a hodgepodge network broadcast I'm doing on Georgia Podcasting Network. We've got one trialogue and two dialogues posted currently. I've got other material I should put up, but there's some technical issues with it. The podcasting mic I was using at the time tended to pick up WSB AM 750, which is the transmit tower is a couple of miles maybe from my house. So it was having issues. But anyway, 3,000 downloads. I can find myself with 5 different search terms on the first page on Google. But yet, no comments. No one's left a comment. Not one single comment. You know, like good, bad, happy, sad. Nothing. So, I really wonder if this is ever going to, you know, what's it doing in the now. Yeah, I do have a profound respect for the historical aspect of this. I mean, you know, people were barking about Barack Obama's inauguration was historic. Well, every time I make a podcast, to me, it's historic. I mean, it's preserved for prosperity, you know, across the ages and time. That's assuming that the electronic civilization that we have constructed and are currently inhabiting persists. You know, it might go on for another 100 years. It might go on for 2. The future is a very, very murky place. No one knows what will happen there. But I do like the idea that, you know, I'm chiseling in granite here. I'm painting on the cave walls here, and some point in time, later, in the future, someone might listen to this and derive something of value from it. That would be really cool. That would be super cool. And that probably isn't going to happen. But it might. And that justifies doing it. Well, Liberty Land Episode 10 has not dealt at all with guns or gun shops or indoor ranges. And we need to deal with guns and gun shops and indoor ranges because we need to obtain about 9,000 square feet of space. It needs to be essentially a warehouse because we need a very wide open footprint. We need to install 12 indoor shooting ranges that are, say, 52 feet in length and capable of accommodating semi-automatic pistols, rimfire rifles, pistol cartridge carbines, and shotguns. I do not believe we'll be able to actually get a running rifle range up and going right away because the ballistic containment requirements for that facility far exceed those for those required of a shotgun pistol range or pistol caliber carbine range, which is irksome. You know, I mean, the .223 is a very pleasant round to shoot, although hardly challenging at 50 feet. I cannot imagine it being a contest of any type, or anyone deriving very much pleasure from shooting at 50 feet with an AR-15. Still in all, though, I mean, if you've got an AR-15, you want to shoot the damn thing, and you just, you know, you don't know where to go. You know that you need to be 50 miles out of town, but you got no friends with property, life is busy. It'd be much easier to go to a local range and fire your AR-15, but I'm not sure I can build a rifle range pod that will be significantly capable, will be able to contain the round for anywhere near the money we can do it for pistols. I may be wrong. We'll continue to look at that. But I'm not envisioning being able to accommodate .223 rifles or .308 rifles or .30-06 or .30-30 or .243 or .270 or .458 American or anything like that initially when we open the doors. But I think we can have 12 pistol ranges running. And damn nice pistol ranges. The range enclosure concept is, there's an outfit on the internet called Quick Range. Big company, mainly defense contractor, and essentially they convert 40-foot shipping containers into modular ranges. And this is exactly what we're going to do at Liberty Land. The same exact concept. Each pod will have two firing points. Each firing point will have a 4-foot-wide firing bench that's 3 feet deep, 36 inches by 48. It's plenty of room for you to get all your shit on the table. Because one of the rules at Liberty Land is no one leaves the firing line to reload a weapon or to replace a magazine or to fetch more ammunition. Once you're in the line, you do all your functions and all your stuff from the firing point. Of course, this means you got to have enough room to put your shit up there. You know, organize it nice. Make sure it's not all fucked up. Don't drop nothing. Christ, I mean, that's expensive stuff we're playing with here. But nobody at Liberty Land will ever walk off a firing line with a weapon in one hand and a magazine in the other. It just won't happen. Not safe. Not tolerated. You'll do your shooting and your point. And the Red Cap will make sure that this occurs. Some way or other, somehow or other, we're going to stamp the place appropriately. That's all going to be part of the miracle of Liberty Land if it does come to pass. Going to need some volunteer effort. Really, going to have some volunteer effort. But it'll be nice. You know, you'll have your little two-point booth. You know, if you and three of your friends want to come shoot, hey, you get the whole pod. You know, it's all there. It's all yours. You're not crowded, and you're not unsafe. You're not getting muzzled by the guy on your right or the guy on your left. You're not being distracted by things that could prove fatal. You know, you can socialize in the shop. You can socialize in a member's lounge. You do not socialize on a range, at least not with a weapon in your hand. Now, in some regards, this may make our range less attractive because one of the things you'll notice in slack times when qualified personnel are on the range is that people like to share experiences. And this is a good thing about shooting. And it only works, though, in slack times with qualified people. You know, you cannot combine a large crowd, half of which have no idea what they're doing, with seasoned professionals. It just doesn't work out well. You know, a pro will see something happen and he'll have to leave because he knows inherently this is unsafe. You know, and an adequately staffed range will allow these things to happen because there's no one in there watching. You know, so that has got to be addressed. And when you look at the kind of manpower and the man hours that are required to make that kind of operation happen, you realize it's got to be volunteer. But that's okay. I think I can find some guys that will be willing to volunteer. You know, we'll find an offset. There'll be a way to work a barter deal on that. So, we're going to have 12 indoor pistol ranges. We're going to have, hopefully, a fairly heavy staff-to-customer ratio. Got a members-only requirement. You know, that's a good filter. And filters are what you need. You know, you've got 12 points. That's all you got. You don't got 120 points. You're not looking to turn Liberty Land into Disneyland. You know, we're not looking to process 500,000 people a day. Can't happen. Won't happen. Sorry. And just fucking can't. I mean, even running the range at max capacity, you know, 12 firing points, 12 shooters an hour over a 10-hour day, 120 shooters going through a facility, that's a lot of goddamn shooters. And if you get better than single occupancy, let's say you get on weekends a ratio of 2, 3, 400% more, you're talking 500 guys coming through the door to shoot. Guys, gals, their friends, you know, all of them need to have the proper experience. All of them need to be safe. All of them need to enjoy their shooting sports and their avocation. Be able to discuss things of interest to the Second Amendment community. Take a look at the newest toys, you know, reevaluate your position maybe on some of your old toys. Maybe you want a new one, maybe you'll trade, maybe not. Participate in some of the other programs we're going to offer. You know, Liberty Land, man. A focal point, you know, a point of focus. A node, you know, a place where people with common interests can go and share their common interests and discover possibly other common interests they have that they were not formerly aware of. Or, you know, they weren't aware of except for a couple of months a year, out of a month out of a year. You know, politics is a 365, 24/7 kind of thing. And if you look at politics as a 365, 24/7 kind of thing, it gives you a tremendous multiplier. You do not need $750 million to become elected president. You need 4 years. You got to do the grunt work. You know, get the word out. Any political campaign can be successfully concluded, I believe, if you start early enough. That, I believe, is the key. Or come up with $1 billion so that it doesn't matter when you start, as long as you can dominate the airwaves for the 3 weeks prior to the election. But it, to me, would be kind of cheap. Anyway, Liberty Land. Okay, got some politics in, got some philosophy in, and got some nuts and bolts of Liberty Land stuff in. I'm quite satisfied. And with that, I'll be signing off. This was episode number 10 of Liberty Land, the Gun Shop of the Future, on the 27th of January. Good night, and thank you for your attention.